More developments on the coronavirus vaccine front today. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Well, it can't be all good news all the time. Pharmaceutical giants Sanofi and GlaxoSmithKline said today their COVID-19 vaccine has shown an insufficient immune response in clinical trials. The companies, which have been using a different vaccine design than Pfizer and BioNTech, say they'll research other options and hope to come up with an effective product by the end of next year. The BBC's Naomi Grimley explains what went wrong this time around.
The main problem with this was it seemed to work in the under 50s, but in older age groups, it just didn't seem to boost immunity. And of course, that is key for a disease where the death rate is much higher in older age groups. They are actually going to rerun the trials for phase two and do extra experiments on it, pitching it head to head with a COVID vaccine that we do know works.
So what does this mean for governments around the world that have already ordered millions of doses of this vaccine?
It is a disappointment. The UK ordered 60 million doses. The US invested money in this as part of Operation Warp Speed. Also the EU. But perhaps most important of all, GSK Sanofi was one of those drug companies that had engaged with COVAX, the WHO facility, to try and get vaccines to low and middle income countries. So it's a big disappointment on a global front, because these vaccines won't be on the market till now the end of 2021.
The BBC's Naomi Grimley for us. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries.
Well, shares of Sanofi are down about 2.5% in Paris on that news today. Meanwhile, AstraZeneca said last hour it'll look into combining its experimental vaccine with Russia's to make a more effective final product. Here in Europe, key benchmarks are down in the 1% range, while the pound is 0.6% lower against the euro. That's as Brexit negotiations continue to yield no results. Both sides say there is a possibility no deal will be reached by the December 31st deadline. Well, for 32 years, two currencies have been in circulation in Cuba, but starting January 1st, the government is scrapping that system. From Havana, the BBC's Will Grant explains why.
Since the 1990s, a currency for conversion with the dollar, known as the CUC or the convertible peso, has circulated on the island alongside the traditional Cuban peso. However, that has led to some serious economic distortions on the communist-run island, which critics say has divided society into those with access to the CUC and those without. Furthermore, the unwieldy system is said to harm Cuban exports and make the island more reliant on expensive imports. The intention of removing the CUC from operation now is to finally tackle the issue and give fresh impetus to the stagnant economy. However, many Cubans fear it will result in rising inflation and will further devalue their very modest state wages and pensions. In Havana, I'm the BBC's Will Grant for Marketplace.
Have you mailed your holiday greetings out yet? I got mine out Wednesday, and apparently I'm not alone. Nearly a billion Christmas cards are sent out every year, with the British sending more per person than any other nation. Amanda Ferguson, boss of the UK's Greeting Card Association, explains why 18 to 24-year-olds are putting pen to paper more often than those a generation ago.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think it's social media. It's not the pandemic at all. This has been something that we've been tracking in the greeting card industry for the last 4 or 5 years now. We're on social media all the time, aren't we? So actually, we're more likely to know if a friend's having a tough time in life or something's happening at work or someone's ill. And actually, another text message doesn't cut it when we want to say something heartfelt and meaningful to someone that we really care about.
So it's interesting because it's social media and the lack of personal touch there, sending a digital first generation to send more greeting cards. And interestingly, you say 94% of those greeting cards are bought in a store and not online.
Yeah, absolutely. Although people obviously buy cards online and have indeed in increasing numbers this year, as soon as the shops opened in the UK, we saw the drive back to retail. And interestingly, our retailers reported a huge increase in basket size as people were going into store, not just to buy the birthday card that they needed for that week, but to stock up.
So how much are sales of greeting cards up this year compared to last year?
I'm having reports of hundreds of percent up from our members in humour cards, a blank card or card with a thinking of you message. But of course, we mustn't forget that actually a lot of card sales have suffered. You know, in the UK, Mother's Day at the beginning of March coincided with the first lockdown, Easter, Father's Day, and of course, all those weddings that didn't take place. Those are card sending occasions that are a big part of our industry.
Now, during World War II, greeting cards were declared an essential good in Britain because they helped boost morale among troops. During this pandemic, the industry has been trying to get the same designation, but they haven't so far had the same success. Why is that, do you think?
Obviously, the governments and all governments have had a very difficult challenge this year. And the first priority, we understand, has got to be to keep people healthy. We feel very strongly that cards are essential. They form a really important way of keeping in touch with people, particularly when we're so isolated. And it was on that basis that we appealed to government. We were obviously pleased that the second time around in England, more stores were able to stay open. And obviously, many of them sold greetings cards. But our specialist retailers were forced to close.
Now, we're in the midst of what I imagine is a very busy time for your industry, the Christmas and holiday card sending season. But here in the UK, stamp prices are set to be going up by about 9 cents. How do you think that's going to affect the industry and whether people are as willing to buy and send greeting cards?
We work very closely with the Royal Mail. We are sorry that the Royal Mail have had to, have announced this price increase because any price increase isn't good. But obviously, we want our Royal Mail to continue. As I say, they've got difficult decisions to make, as every business does.
I'm in the firm camp of sending Christmas and holiday cards every year, and I spend a ridiculous amount to get them to all my friends and family overseas. Amanda, are you in that camp? Are you going to be sending out Christmas cards this year?
Oh, absolutely. I also send hundreds of cards because I love receiving them. Isn't it lovely getting them back and hearing what friends and family have been up to during the year and seeing the different images and different, you know, messages that come in? So, and of course, they're a Christmas decoration as well, aren't they?
Exactly. I hang mine up on a ribbon on my living room door so I can walk by them and see them every day. It's really nice. Amanda Ferguson, boss of the UK's Greeting Card Association. Thanks so much for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, if you're still looking for the perfect greeting, how about the world's first commercial Christmas card? Just a few of the 1,000 printed in 1843 still survive, but getting one will set you back a cool $25,000. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.